Commissioner Felton.
Hello.
Hey, Rosie.
Keith Holmes from the Mutual Manager Group in Macon.
Keith?
Ma'am. Hey, Ms. Rose.
Hey.
I'm here when you need me.
Okay.
All right, it's 2 o'clock. We've got three commissioners on. Bob told me he might or might not be able to make it, but he would call in if he could. I haven't heard from Carl, but he should be long shortly.
Carl's on.
Carl's on here. We have four commissioners.
All right. All right. So we'll go ahead and call the 2 p.m. work session to order, June the 10th, 2020. And we have present for the record myself, Chairman Mickey George, Commissioner Felton, Commissioner Hockbook, and Commissioner Oliver are all present.
Judge Lisa Jones.
And County Manager Starling is on. The other staff on?
No, sir.
Okay. And then we had some other people who will be participating later on as we move down the agenda. So we'll recognize them at that point. First item on our agenda is to approve the minutes of the May 27th, 2020 meeting. I entertain a motion at this time to approve those minutes.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Felton, I offer a motion that we approve the minutes of the May 27, 2020 meeting.
Motion by Commissioner Felton, is there a second?
Commissioner Hockbook, second.
Second by Commissioner Hockbook. We'll have a roll call vote. Just answer yes or no. Commissioner Felton?
Yes.
Commissioner Hockbook?
Yes.
Mr. Oliver?
Yes.
Chairman also votes yes, and Commissioner Melvin is absent. next item on our agenda is discuss the group health insurance. So, County Manager, could you introduce that? And I think someone's here from the insurance company.
Yes, sir. At our last meeting, we had gotten a notice that our insurance rate this year was going to be going up 22%. And I have been speaking with Keith Holmes and Billy Pitts in Macon, which is our insurance brokers. And we were trying to find the best plan for the employees that we could without impacting the budget so much. And what we have done is we've come up with a plan with a few changes in it, but it's still going to... We're still going to have to find some additional funds if we go with this plan. So on the line, so I'll let him give you an overview of the plan that we're talking about. Keith?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, everyone. How y'all doing?
Good evening, Keith.
Commissioner George, Commissioner Hockbook, Commissioner Felton, and... I haven't met you yet, Commissioner Oliver, but good evening. Rose and myself and Billy have been going back and forth since we got the renewal of 22%, which is a bit excessive, we thought. The reason that it's been, we've had a large influx of claims that wasn't necessarily anything that Rose and did. We just had some people that was pretty sick. In fact, we had... claims of around $573,000. That's where the bulk of that renewal came in. So we went back with Blue Cross to see if we can get a discount, a rate on that. And how, what I mean by that is because of the longevity we have with them, we was able to negotiate a 4% rate deduction, which brought it from 22%. To 18%, which was still high, and it was more than you guys had said in the budget. We had talked to Ms. McDuffie back in February of this year as she was accumulating y'all's budget, and I think she put in 8.2. We were trying to see maybe around a 10 or 10.2, but in any case, she put an 8.2 in, and what I understand, of course, she have moved on to somewhere else. In that point, we started talking to Ms. Rose, trying to find a way around it. And what we did was we went to several other companies. The problem with the companies that we had gone to, they wanted to fully re-underwrite this plan, which if they had done that, it would have been disastrous. So Rose, myself, and Mr. Pitt decided that would probably be a good idea based on the rates they were giving us a profit on. So what we did then was went back to Anthem and had them to send us a bevy of new plans. And so we got it marked down to about 6 different plans. Then we got it marked down to 3 plans. And just for Pete's sake, and y'all might not understand this language, we went to plan 129. All that means is we had about 135 plans to choose from. And what this plan does, it gets us down to less than half of that. So technically, we'll be paying $17.95 more per employee. A lot of this help was with Ms. Rosalind in her dogmatic in making sure we get it down to the bare minimum we could. And so what that ended up being, we was trying to get it down to like 844 per employee, which is exactly what you had in the budget. And so once we got through making some changes, we got it down to 862 per employee. And what we had to change was, the deductible is still the same, which is $2,500. We thought we were going to go to $5,000, but we didn't. So instead of an 80-20 plan, it becomes a 70-30 plan. What that simply means is it's still a maximum of $7,900 maximum per employee, meaning that that was something catastrophic. And on the other change we had to make was a deductible on the drug card, which it was a $200 deductible on what we call formulary drugs, you guys. That's a when you do kind of specialty drugs. And so that deductible went to $500. So those were the only two changes we had to make that which would do two things. We thought, A, it would put us almost in line with the budget you have, and B, it would still be as close as Billy, myself, and Ms. Rose could get to mirror the plan that you guys already have. So it doesn't change much of anything from a cosmetic standpoint. We was able to keep the emergency room benefits, which we was afraid of, that we thought we had lost it. Now, what the emergency room benefit mean, you guys, is what we thought about, talking to Ms. Rose, if we took that benefit out, let's say someone from public works got cut while they was out on the road and they had to rush into the emergency room. If we did not have that benefit, whatever that fee would have been, that person would have had to pay that. Now, if they had admitted them to the hospital, that benefit would have been waived. So if we had a heart attack, we probably would have been okay. But if we had someone to get hurt just when they went to the emergency room and came, then they did not admit them, it would have been a huge, huge cost. So that's why we end up with $17.95 more per employee. So instead of your overall premium being $111,000 more per year, with the help, a lot of help, and I'm not trying to gaslight you guys or reap too much praise on Ms. Rose, but she was very diligent in that. We got it down to only $17,000 a year versus $111,000. And two, with that also being to keep it in line with what the employees already have. So, and we only got this renewal 30 days out. We're supposed to got this renewal almost 4 to 5 days out. So we had a real short group to work with, but we was able to do that. So I would entertain any questions at this point. Mr. Pitts is sitting right here with us. So any questions you guys have, we'll be more than happy to try to answer them for you.
Keith, this is Commissioner Felsen.
Yes, sir.
Explain that catastrophic, that $7,900.
Okay. What that means is if a person went into the hospital and let's say their bill was $100,000, the max out of pocket for them would be only $7,900. So from that, even if it was $1 million, the max that would be for that employee would just only be $7,900. So that's why, again, the 80-20 percentage versus the 70-30 percentage, from a catastrophic standpoint, it wouldn't make any difference. Because if any of us went into the hospital and our bill more than $7,900, we know that's the max ours could ever be. Okay. Did that answer your question, Commissioner Felton?
Yes, sir, it did. Thank you.
Okay.
Keith, Commissioner Hogbrook, I got a question. You mentioned something about if somebody was hurt on the job, there was some kind of thing you would go, you kept in the plan that that I guess would have cut, that does cost us extra. Explain that to me again, because if they were hurt on the job, like I think you mentioned the roads department, would that not be covered by workman's comp?
That would be working if they was going to be out on disability, Commissioner Hogwood. But we were just talking about this, if they would just had an injury and just went to the emergency room and came back. But if they were going to be out, let's say, work for a week, 2 weeks, or whatever, then, yes, sir, that would be covered under workman's comp on that. Right. And injury on job is workman's comp. You're absolutely right.
So still had an emergency. You still have
that. I didn't hear. Mr. Hogbrook, did that answer your question?
It did.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions?
I had talked with Keith and Billy because I was concerned about us changing over to a different plan, but they assured me that even though we're changing to a different plan, that we're still going to have the same providers, we're going to have the same doctors, same specialists, we're going to still have the same benefits with the pharmacies that we have under the other plan. And like he said, the only difference is that we're going from 80-20 to a 70-30. And the deductible on our current plan that we have on our formulary drugs is $200. Well, with the new plan, the deductible is going up to $500. In the old plan, commissioners had agreed when we first got this plan that because it had the deductible, that y'all would pay first $200 on the deductible for the Tier 2 and Tier 3 drugs. If a person had to have those particular type drugs, you would pay that one time per year for an employee if they had to have a prescription for that. But in this new plan, we're going to have $500 deductible. So, but the only thing that we're wanting to get y'all to agree on is to continue to at least pay the $200 deductible that we're currently paying on the plan that we have now, because it would help the employees, you know. Even though, you know, this is $500, but the $200 would help them if they happen to have a formulary drug that actually costs, you know, $500. And what we'd have to do in our budget, we'll have to appropriate an additional $17,299.20 if this is the plan that y'all chose to go with.
Rosa, does that include that $200 or does not include it?
It doesn't include the $200 because we don't really know who's going to actually have to have the formulary drug. I think I've only maybe had two or three in the past 3 or 4 years that people have come in and actually had a $200, you know, drug that we actually gave them the deductible for. So it's that many that are actually going to need that benefit. But I just wanted to make sure that we could still do the $200 with the new plan. At least it will help them, you know, with their drug cost if they have to have it.
Rosa, Commissioner Felton, how is this going to impact our budget? What's going to be the bottom line for what we're having to come up with finance-wise, money-wise?
We got to come up with $17,299.20
okay.
Or if we go with this particular plan.
compared to 111,000.
Yeah. There were a lot of plans, like Keith said. There was just they have plans, all kind of plans. But we were trying to find the one that wouldn't impact the employees so much, and that would try to fit it within our budget limitations that we have. And we felt that this would be our best option. But, you know, it's up to you all, and there are other plans if you want to look at them. We can certainly get them to you, but we felt that this would be the best plan.
So, Ms. Rosalind, what company is this plan with?
It's still with Blue Cross Blue Shield Anthem. It's just a different plan. They have like 100-something plans you can choose from with different deductibles, different copays. Mm-hmm. Some don't pay anything on your drugs. Some of them do. And like I said, there's just so many of them. We just felt this would be the best fit for our employees.
Right.
And it wouldn't cost us as much.
Yeah.
So, Keith, is it just because the pool did bad that the plan went up, or just what would make the plan go? Okay.
The claim, 563,000 claims. You're exactly right. It was the pool is what caused it to jump as much as it did. We used to have about a 12% increase built in, but we built in an 8.2. Didn't think that the pool was going to be affected that much because we knew Anthem was giving discounts for the coronavirus and stuff like that. That's the only discount that they gave us for anybody that would have had anything to do with the coronavirus. That would not affect our claims in any way, shape, or form.
So it does not matter about the healthy initiative, the health fair, and trying to be health education for our employees. We can't get a discount for that.
We did. Ms. Rosen did that, you know, prior to even if they did that during the year. And all they do is make sure the majority, more than 50% of their employees go to have their annual checkup. That was one of the reasons we was also able to negotiate a 4% discount. This particular plan that we end up coming with, we got a discount on it also. It came in at 14.5%. And we got a 4% discount off of that because of some of those things that you get. Is that you, Mr. Mel?
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
Okay. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir.
Was able to negotiate that down, too. So I know it's you guys' money, but I really have to give, and again, I'm not trying to gaslight you all in any way, shape, fashion, form, but working with Rose as close as we did, to start out with $110,000 and get it down to $17,000 and then have it to look almost as the same plan y'all have with the same company, those are a lot of pluses. At the end of the day, you guys have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rosen, do we need a vote on this today, or we wait till next Thursday, when we finalize the budget?
I think Keith said we were needing to do it by the 15th. Is that correct?
Yeah, because Rose, I got to get out there and do your open enrollment so you can get those cards. See, if you approve it, we can go ahead and send for those cards so they can have those cards by July 1st, is what we're shooting for.
Okay.
And they did so not get us, you guys. Let me say this one other thing. They did not get Ms. Rose or I this renewal until just about 2 weeks ago, to be honest with you. It was the end of May. We should have got this renewal back the end of April. So she has been working diligently also with this. So, and again, I appreciate her for working us with this on a daily basis to get this down. So thank you so much, Ms. Rose, for real, though.
All right, sounds like we'd be better served if we had action on this today then so we could get moving on it.
Yes.
That being the case, I'll entertain a motion to approve this alternate plan that's been presented and recommended to us.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Felton, I offer a motion to approve the plan.
Motion by Commissioner Felton. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Hagebutt, second.
Second by Commissioner Hagebutt. All those in favor, answer yes to the roll call vote. Commissioner Felton?
Yes.
Mr. Hagebutt?
Yes.
Commissioner Melvin?
Yes.
Commissioner Oliver?
Yes.
Chair also votes yes, so that's a unanimous vote for that to approve the recommended alternate plan.
Okay. What I will do, you guys, is I'll get with Ms. Rose. She's going to already send something out today if she didn't already send it. I'll get with her Friday, and we'll set up some kind of open enrollment. And, of course, we'll definitely we'll recognize the social distancing and that kind of thing. And she and I will try to work that out one way or another so we can get this going. Appreciate you guys very much. Still always feel free, because Ms. Rose knows she can call me. She has my cell phone. And so can any of you guys if there's any concerns or questions.
All right, we appreciate it, sir.
Mr. Okay, Chairman, thank you all. You all take care. Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk to you Friday, Ms. Rose, or you can call me tomorrow. I'm getting
Chairman,
on y'all now. Any more questions for us here?
I have a question. I would like, and I don't think it pertains to you, but that $200 Rose was talking about for the employees. Going towards
what
it doesn't. Do we need to decide
what
today?
You can decide that Thursday.
Yeah, you can decide that later.
Right.
The main thing is continuing the insurance so we can go ahead and sign the documents that we have to go ahead and get the new insurance card because it takes effect July the 1st.
Right.
All right.
We'll put that on there.
And it's $200. That's the thing that y'all had approved it from years back.
Right.
I don't hardly know it. Many people even used it. But it's just in there as a safety net.
But the new plan will actually state $500.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes,
right.
sir.
So what we need to do is just do a supplemental vote where we would make that provision to pay $200 of that $500 for any employee who needs that.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
So we'll do that. We'll do that at the next regular meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there any other questions for us here in Macon at Mutual Financial Group?
That's fine. That's it. Thank you, Keith.
Okay. If anything you need me, bro, just hit me back on the cell phone. I'll dial back in if you need to because we're here at the office, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Oliver, hope to meet you at one sometime soon. Good to hear you, Mr. Melvin. Always thank you, Mr. George, Mr. Hagebutt, and Mr. Felton. You guys take care.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Moving on to item number 3 is to discuss tax abatement for two energy companies, Beltline and Recurrent. You have those proposed. They were sent out to you in there probably in the packet also. Gerald, you want to make any introductory statements what you've included here?
Well, the biggest thing, Mickey, thank you for asking. Biggest thing is that we had already approved these tax abatement things several years ago, and as of yesterday, I got a hold of both companies. They're both planning to submit a bid in July 15 of this year, and they were just simply asking the commissioners that they would approve these tax abatements, more or less kind of reapprove them because they had been approved before, but that the it had been a time lapse in there, and they were just asking y'all to look over and make sure they were still good before they resubmit this time.
Commissioner Hagebutt has a couple of questions.
Okay.
All right. I see the millage rate on one of them, the Beltline, is 28.21, and on the other one, this Recurrent Solar is 29.07. And we don't know what the final millage rate's going to be, so I would think we would have to approve something new once we know what the millage rate is going to be. But obviously we're looking at two things that have different millage rates.
Of course, I didn't make these calculations, Commissioner Hogbook. The companies did. When Regina left here, I think she told me the current rate was 28.98 or 28 point something or other, and it may have been 29.07 at the time Recurrent did theirs. If you want to, what we can do is just tell them that this will all be based on whatever the current millage rate is. Everybody knows it's subject to change some, and the companies need to realize that if y'all, for some reason, change it. But do you anticipate a change between now and the time it's submitted?
Yeah, that was one of the questions. The other question is, there was, you know, we've had four different solar projects sent to us in the last 2 or 3 years. Of course, I'm seeing two of them. The other two just decided to drop it, or they don't want to come back, or
I haven't heard anything from the one that submitted Chase property 2 or 3 years ago, or the one that was out on River Road wind. I can't remember some kind of wind related name, but I haven't heard anything from them about an intent to reapply.
All right, that brings up my last question. What if all four came back and wanted to do a solar project? I mean, I assume this line can't hold but so many. I think they all hit the same current line, this power line. So,
absolutely.
But, I mean, we sit there and agree to all of them, and then all of a sudden we got a fight on our hands as who gets to do it. Who gets it?
Well, my thinking and my understanding is that line, like you said, won't hold but so much, and therefore, if either one of these companies get it this time, chances, I can't imagine both of them getting it on the same line. So once one of them, one of these companies get it on that line, I don't think there'll be any bidding in the future or any more solar things for that line, simply because that line will be pretty well up to capacity. It'll have to be on another line going in a different direction.
Okay. That's all my questions.
Okay. Thank you. I hope I answered them.
Any other questions, Commissioners Hounds? I have one. Is there... what kind of time frame are we on with this, Gerald? Can we vote on this next Thursday and have enough time to deal with the details?
Yes.
The companies?
Yeah.
All right. So it'd be my suggestion we'll put this on the next regular meeting agenda for these two companies. Any objection to that?
All right. I have a question. Will y'all actually be having a live meeting by the next meeting?
We don't know that yet.
Okay. All right.
Today, and we may make a decision about today, or we may have to wait.
All right. I've got one more little detail on those two. Beltline is going to be the managing company for this thing. But the parent company that is going to actually put up the money is called Competitive Power Ventures, CPV. And I just wanted to mention that. I didn't know about it until yesterday or today. And you know how these companies are. Sometimes they have to, for capital reasons, they have to go out and get somebody else to help them with the capital. And I didn't want that to come up later and somebody look at it and say, well, I thought you said that was Beltline. It is. They're going to be managing and running it as Beltline, but the parent company will be this Competitive Power Ventures.
Well, do we need some kind of updated
contract
agreement that has that listed in there before we vote?
I will. I'll get that before you meet. When y'all get ready to vote on it, you say Thursday, to like tomorrow?
The 18th.
No, next the week, third week.
It'll be June 18th.
I will get that change to you on the name and everything. I'll get it before y'all vote on it.
And, of course, there is another reason that I asked, I had asked John to take a look at we had the rezoning conditional use, I think, request.
Yeah.
Along with these projects. And I asked John to take a look at all the legal aspects of that if a zoning was approved and then nothing was done, and same, likewise, we approved the proceed, but then we didn't, the company was turned down, and so they didn't get the contract with Georgia Power. So I asked him to look and see if there was any deadline on these approvals, or whether they would just continue to be open until they came back and something did get approved. But I do think since they've got another company, they probably need paperwork that's got that other company involved and in written into the paperwork. I think that'd probably be appropriate.
I'll have that other company name and everything before y'all meet and get ready to vote on it. You mentioned John, but I also talked, and I think you did too, with David Parrott, and he went back and said that he did not find anything after y'all rezoned it. He didn't find like a drop-dead date or that it was good until such and such. And Ryan Sanders, who also all of us remember Ryan, I asked him that question, and he said he thought it stayed with the property. Once it had been rezoned, it stayed with the property until the property was no longer, they have some kind of contract with the property owner, and until that date runs out, he thought it stayed with it. But, you know, that's a lawyer for the solar energy company and all, but as best I can find out, it probably does stay with it until they get past a certain date. I don't know how long it is. Probably something to do with the MOU.
Yeah, and hopefully John will get that checked out by next week. Just make sure we don't have anything in there that would prohibit us from going ahead and agreeing to this.
That brought up a question to Commissioner Hogbook. That brought up a question. Are they now paying still the regular tax rates based on being agricultural, one or two, whichever they may be? What kind of tax rates are being paid right now on all these properties?
Mr. Hogerberg, is that directed to me or somebody else?
Whoever can answer it for me.
Well, I'll take a guess at it. My understanding is that the new tax rate would not go into effect until the project is built. Otherwise, it stays at that tax rate until the project's complete.
It stays at agriculture until the project is put in forward. Okay. That's my question.
Well, that would be something we need to ask on too, because, you know, I guess and it's just the details, whether it's what the rate would be till the project is initiated or completed. When does it change? And they don't outline the years on these abatement schedules. They just put year one, year two. They don't put down a year. So that would be a question we need to probably get clarified.
I imagine they're saying the year one is the year it actually goes into business. It goes in as a completed project.
I,
Ben, that I interpreted it back when we first started dealing with them, was that all of this started the year that they completed the project and got everything in place.
All right. Which would kind of verify your original answer that you would assume everything's nothing changed because no project was even started. So it's still
been
agriculture zoning. Anything else? All right, we'll put this on the agenda for the 18th. Next item is the budget for FY 2021. County Manager, any comments you have?
Sir, in your package, I had copies, letters from the Tax Assessor's Board, and they're on the phone. They want to discuss these particular requests with you all. And also, Judge Jones, she's going to be on the phone when the Tax Assessor's get through. And then I think the Development Authority also wanted to address their request, too. But the Tax Assessor's would be the first ones.
Okay. We'll let the Tax Assessor go ahead then, whoever's speaking for them.
Yes, sir. If you want to speak for
Tax Assessors, we're ready for your questions. Are you with us?
Who is speaking for the Tax Assessor?
All of them.
Hi. Who's going to be for the Tax Assessors and explain these requests that you submitted to the board?
It would be each of us part of it.
Okay, well, y'all need to get closer to the phone because we can barely hear you.
We are close and we can barely hear you all as well. It's going in and
out. Uh-oh.
Okay, can you hear us better now?
Yes, I can hear you better.
Okay. Our first was salaries. We had originally requested $129,000, and it was approved for $117,045, which is what we currently are at. However, right now we're not in compliance with the Department of Revenue as far as having certified appraisers. Our new appraiser, we're hoping that she would be able to get her appraiser one or appraiser certification in the so that she can be in compliance and be able to get a pay increase budget this way.
I didn't hear most of that.
Same here.
We haven't tried.
Sounds like we're getting a lot of wind.
We are. What she said was is on their budget they sent in, they requested $129,000 for their salaries. And in the current budget, What the amount that was approved is $117,045, which is basically what the current salaries are. But what they had done in their budget, I think that's in their office now is going to be certified, and they're wanting to put additional monies in there that once she gets certified, then she would be entitled to a raise. And I think that's what she's asking. Is that right, Deborah?
Yes, ma'am.
So you're wanting to increase to be how much in her salary once she's certified?
Well, it depends on if she gets her, appraiser one or appraiser two within the first year. So that would all determine the amount at that point.
Okay.
question, Commissioner Felton. They identifies, you know, with sending these people with class and that kind of thing. But do we have any ties or anything set out where once they do this, they're going to continue to work for us for a certain period of time or whatever?
We can't hear you again.
What he said was, is there any way, any kind of ties that the board or the county may have with these particular employees? Should we send them to school? Is there any kind of commitments that we can be guaranteed that once they get certified that they're not going to leave? Is there any kind of ties that with this with the training?
We don't have anything saying that, you know, a commitment or a contract saying that she's not going to leave after she's certified. We do not.
I thought we brought that, this is Commissioner Hogbrook, I thought we brought that up a year ago or 2 years ago when the other fellow left, and we were gonna require that for us to pay for all the certification.
But that would be commissioner's call, and I think, I'm not sure, but the attorney may have agreed with that. I don't know how you can make someone stay on.
You can make them stay on or return the money that it costs to get the training if you have that in an agreement up front, and that's what we asked for. And I don't know how that didn't happen, but that's what we asked for.
But that would have to be incorporated in the county's personnel policy.
Well, that could be a separate issue.
Well, Commissioner Felton, wouldn't that be a benefit to them? Why not them pay for it? And hey, you know, and then if they leave, I mean,
that'll
be out of their pocket. It won't be out of ours. Did you hear me?
No,
we didn't hear you, Dan.
I said, well, why not just require them to pay for their schooling out of their own pocket? So if they decide to leave, you know, that'll be on them. It won't be out of the county coffers. I mean, we invest this money in them, expecting them to stay, and then they get, you know, get all the schooling or whatever they need, the training that they need, and then they decide to, hey, well, I'm going on to somewhere else. I think there should be some ties to it if we're going to, you know, come out of our coffers to finance them going to school. It's just like somebody going to college or something. I mean, you know, they have to come up with the money to go because it's a benefit to them.
I hear you, but on the one we had, remember we tried to do everything, and that person, and I hate to keep bringing it up, that person left for more than a $15,000 increase. And, you know, that may have not been all bad for us that that person left, but, you know.
Yeah, but we.
But at the same token, we paid for that guy to get a $15,000 raise.
We paid for him, right?
Let me ask you: do the sheriff's department and other people pay for their training, and are they under similar things? Do they pay for their own training?
Are you referring to deputies, or what are you referring to?
Anybody that has a county job and goes to school, do they pay out of their own pocket if they have to have it, or
paramedics do.
Say that again.
Paramedics pay for theirs for their training.
Right, but that has to be done before they're a paramedic. This is, once you come into the job, I mean, as far, our office is required by the state to have someone to have certain appraisers in the office. We have to have a certified appraiser 3 and at least a certified appraiser 1. We didn't get anyone that applied for the position that already held that. And so as far as having someone come in, they can come in and not obtain the certifications. But then we're not in compliance.
I don't think any counties in the state, though, have them pay for their own schooling. Now, if y'all wanted to incorporate something in there that if they left, I mean, but I think that should be countywide rather than just this office.
I can agree with that. I can, too.
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem. I'd say we put a minimum of 2 or 3 years, you know, and if they want to go somewhere else and get a better pay, hey, that's fine for them, but at least they ought to be able to, since they got a better pay, they ought to pay us back.
And we agree with that, and if you recall, I don't know if you were there at the time, that was one of the things that we said. We could probably add in that have the employee to sign an agreement that if they left in X number of years, they would pay back X amount of dollars.
I'm all for that.
I think the board is too. I mean, you know, but I think it should be everybody in the county, not just this one office.
Well, I think we all agree with that.
Yep. I'm fine with it.
Well, we're doing a good job developing policy here on what we need, but we're not doing much to decide what we're going to do with the money, about the money in the budget.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was the total amount that's
been
requested? I put
the cart before the horse, aren't you?
Yeah. What's the total amount of money that was requested that you didn't get?
What was the question
again?
$11,955.
Right.
That's a big adjustment for. For one, if she just goes to appraiser one. Are you putting the adjustment in for one and appraiser two?
Right, we're hoping that she would be able to obtain her appraiser two.
Both of them in a year, okay.
Does it become effective when she gets that certification? In other words, if it's 4 months down the line, it we don't start paying until the 5th month, is that correct?
That's
right. Just a question, Rosalind. If we don't put any money in there for that particular item, and then the person goes and obtains their certification, whatever it is, one or two, one and two, can we handle that budget amendment at the time that happens?
You still going to try it? You still got to figure out where you're going to get your money from, whether you're going to get it out of fund balance or where the money's coming from.
Well, that's an unknown figure right now. I think we do just add an amendment at that point in time. If we have to get out of surplus, that's to come out of surplus.
Actually, not so long ago, we did approve, which I think was everybody was for. We approved going to the system to can't think of the name of it right now.
Q Public.
And I thought we said that, you know, that they were going to find some money in their budget to help fund part of that, and then some of that was coming out of salaries. So, you know, we could have.
That'd be a one now, but how much?
Had some money left for that, but I really would suggest that we, rather than put an unknown quantity in the budget, or to go ahead and make a commitment out of to make it out of fund balance now, I would say we would be better to make that commitment. I mean, to vote on that as a budget amendment when the employee got the certification. It's kind of an unusual situation. It, you know, if it had been dealt with, I guess, back on the original request, with some certainty that would happen, then we'd be in a better shape to deal with it. But we didn't you know, there wasn't anything in the budget that I saw relative to that. And now it's just kind of coming as a surprise. And we're in a terrible situation where everybody's asking for money, and we just don't have a lot of money unless we're going to raise taxes, which we can do.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Felsen, I totally concur with what you just said. I think we just need to wait, and if it comes up, we can amend the budget, take it out of, like Ben said, maybe fund balance or whatever. But what happens if she doesn't get a certification?
Yeah, I think that'd be the best thing to do right now. Does anybody object to that? Think that's not the best route to go?
That's a good alternative, we think. And that's y'all call about taking things out of fund balance. If I was in your position, I don't think I would want to rely too heavy on taking things out of fund balance. But we won't do it that way. As long as we get it done, that's our primary concern.
We already taking $250,000 out of fund balance just to balance the budget for the requests we have currently. I think we just hold on this until, and we can put something in the minutes. We'll have a record in these minutes of the work session, but we can also put a formal motion in place at our regular meeting that we're going to defer the request for increase for the salary for the tax assessors until such time as the employee obtains their certification, and then we'll deal with it as a budget amendment.
We thank you for that, and we're on board with that.
All right, what else do y'all have? I see all kinds of letters in this package.
Our next one is also with the budget. It's for professional and technical services. We had originally requested $75,000. However, we had talked with Gina before she left, and so we were having our schedules relooked at as far as our system. We some of the values. Some updating, but we did agree upon holding off on that, so we wouldn't need the full $75,000. But in order to keep technical appraisals, who handles, you know, a lot of our scheduling and all of that in the background and field work, some plus Q Public, and then we've also sent you a request for. Q Public to start handling our parcel maintenance. So just for those, we would need $62,000, which we were approved at $58,600.
So that's an additional amount of how much? Three? Can't do the math.
$3,400.
Correct.
34. Yeah.
3420 on the letter.
Oh yeah, here it is. So you're cutting? Are you cutting technical appraisals time some to make up some of that money, or this is all new money?
Well. Not all of it's new money. The new money is for Q Public. Technical appraisals has remained the same. We just, you know, we increased it as far as the Q Public contract that we had went to before, and now we want them to handle our parcel maintenance, which is our mapping. And so that's where the additional, I think it's $3,400 come in at, and you do have a letter in the package.
Right.
Was he, before
right,
we got
cut out River Valley, they were doing our mapping before, and we have run into quite a few issues with that. so we feel like this would be a better route for the county.
How much was River Valley charges?
We were doing $1,200.
So $1,200 of that would go. So really, would that be then, if you're cutting out River Valley, then there'd be an additional $2,200?
Budgeted River Valley.
Please, cut it out.
Right.
We're gonna do it right here, man.
The total that we would need for that would be $62,000.
So that's cutting out the $1,200. In other words, yeah. It's $46,200, and we're cutting out then to make it $34,200.
I misspoke then. When we submitted that request, we had cut the $1,200 out.
Right.
Okay.
So we need, and your request is for an additional $3,420.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's the wishes of the commission? Do we want to put that in? See what the numbers look like? Or what we want to do?
Chairman, Commissioner Felsen, I propose that we put the $3,420 in.
Okay, I guess we just get agreement on doing this, and we can actually do it Thursday. We can get agreement on putting it in, and then Rosen will have to redo the budget and find that $3,400 somewhere, and so the budget will balance. So let's just get a consensus that we're going to go ahead. We're going to pay the $3,420 or add the $3,420 budget request to the tax assessor's budget. So Commissioner Tucker said he would agree to that. What about the other commissioner?
Commissioner Hogwood agrees.
Commissioner Melvin? He may be gone. Commissioner Oliver?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Got everybody. I'll agree to that also. The chair will agree. That's Commissioner Melvin. Are you still on? All right. That's four yeses, and we'll do the final vote on that next Thursday. But I think everybody's agreeing to say that it needs to go in. All right. What else from the tax assessments?
The last thing we have with the it is education and training. We had originally requested $4,000. We were approved for $2,500. The reason we requested the $4,000 this year is a couple of different circumstances. One,
Commissioner
Hogwood,
are we still on? I don't hear anybody.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear them.
Yep.
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can
Hello?
Hear.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh. Okay, so with the education.
Hello? Some reason some people aren't hearing. I don't know what it's.
Let us know when you're ready for us.
Well, I won't know until I can hear from everybody. I thought everybody was on.
I'm still on. All on. Commissioner Felsen on.
This is Commissioner Hogwood. Somehow I got cut off.
All right, go ahead. Tax assessors, everybody can hear now.
Okay. We had originally requested $4,000 for education and training. We were approved for $2,500. We do have a couple different circumstances that led up to requesting the $4,000. One is we do have the new employee who does need the training in order to get her certification. The second is with the COVID situation going on, we were not able to get our classes the end of this year, or the beginning of this year, end of this budget. So we're going into the next budget a little behind, and we're going to kind of have to play catch-up with classes so that we can all stay in compliance.
Okay. So you're needing an additional $3,000?
Well, we requested $4,000, and we were approved for $2,500, so an additional $1,500.
Okay.
Keep in mind now, we do have the new employee in all, let's see, five of the six of us. When October for the first.
I know I have to have 40 hours, and I believe all. I think you're fine this year. I'll have to look at you. But, right. We all have to have classes this year.
You
have
this to is Commissioner Hogbrook. I've been cut off for the last 5 minutes.
Well, we're just trying to figure out. They requested. They're short $1,500 on the amount they requested for training and that was put in the budget for them. So my question to commissioners is, that's what?
You're doing tax assessors?
Yes.
Okay. I'm with y'all now.
So question to commissioners, if we can add that up, $1,500 for training.
Commissioner Felton, I say yes, $1,500.
All right.
Commissioner Hogbrook says yes.
Commissioner Oliver?
I agree, Chuck, yes.
Commissioner Melvin, are you on? All right. I think that's got a consensus to add that in. So, Rosalind, you can add that in the budget. Get a final version of the budget. Anything tax assessors? I see a list here of a bunch of office improvements. Rosalyn, do we have anything in the current SPLOST for budget for off building improvements for our tax assessors?
No, sir.
Mr. Chairman, if you referring to that letter that was the building,
tell about that new thing.
We were on the assumption that that should not have come from
chicken.
Although there's a dire need for some repair, miss. If you've been over here recently, seen the evidence of leaks in the phone service. I'm not bright enough to explain that, but it's terrible. Even a layperson like me, knew our phone system is really terrible.
Yeah, our phones are still rolled over to a cell phone, so we're still sharing a cell phone throughout the office. Can't seem to get them to roll them back to the office phones.
I had that problem with Windstream. Commissioner Hogbrook. Yeah, I couldn't get through to y'all's office yesterday, as y'all are well aware of. I kept getting busy seeing them. And Melanie had to get me through to y'all.
Cell phones are still rolled. I mean, our phones are still rolled over to the cell phone. We can only accept one call at a time. And it makes it difficult if they're asking for one employee or the other. We're having to run the cell phone around. So it makes it challenging.
Well, notify the phone company
to cut that service off.
Right.
It to be forwarded to the cell phone, but nobody's calling to cut it off because we don't know what hours y'all are operating over there.
We're
operating the regular hours.
Right. I spoke with you the week we came back, and there was a request put in, and when Windstream was over here the other week, they said they had the request and that it showed that it was completed, and I spoke with them, and they said they would get it fixed, and it still rolled over to the cell phone.
Well, we just have to notify the office in Perry because they're the one that actually implemented it to have it started. You have to go through a process, and it takes about a week or so to actually get it cut off because it took about that long to get it cut on. But we can get that reversed for y'all. That's no problem.
That may explain why they filed Chapter 13. Takes them that long to roll the phone for
it. It did. It took about a week or so.
Well, and I know Regina said in order for it to work like it's supposed to, they proposed we have to have a whole new phone system. Which,
okay. You know. No, cool.
All right. We'll try to get that done, and all this maintenance stuff, we'll just have to deal with that later. We are having some communication problems right now with understanding everybody hearing what's going on. So, anything else from the tax assessors?
I think that's it. Appreciate y'all's time and effort.
We'll work on the building, the maintenance stuff. I don't know how we're going to get that done, but we'll work on that and the phone system, see what we can do. Any commissioners have any other comments on the tax assessment? All right, hearing none, let's move to the next
Judge
item.
Jones.
I'm here.
Judge Jones was wanting to speak, and then after that, I think Gerald Beckham wanted to speak.
Okay, Judge Jones.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Commissioners and Rosalyn. I really appreciate it. I'm not going to take but just a couple minutes. I know I spoke to you last time about trying to get a new employee and what a mess we're in with the juvenile court, but what a difference a day makes. Sumter County met last night and decided that due to the COVID crisis and the lack of revenue due to that, they are not approving any new employee, you know, positions at this point. So I think what I'm going to do is kind of like one of those issues you were speaking about a few minutes ago is wait about 6 months until hopefully this passes and seek a mid-year budget amendment with Sumter County and then come back to you all. I think that might be the appropriate thing to do because all the other counties, you know, had approved. And, I just didn't anticipate this because Sumter County's been so good about helping me develop, you know, our circuit-wide budget and a plan for this position. So I think I'm kind of on hold right now, and I just wanted to kind of let you all know what was going on.
All right. I would suggest, of course, we raised the juvenile court a little bit, but since we've already got that in there, I would suggest we just leave it. It wasn't the whole amount, but I suggest we just leave the amount in there.
Right.
Depending on what the other commissioners want to do. I mean, we could cut it and then add it, you know, add this other stuff you've been listening to for these other departments. But
right.
You know, if we can just leave it, and then we'd be in a better position if it does come to pass in mid-year and you make a request, we'd still have some money, excess money in there.
Right. Okay. I want to keep this communication line open about this because it is really.
Well, we appreciate that, and we'll actually make a final decision on whether we'll take the money. Well, I guess we need to do that now so Rosa's going to have some direction. What's the thinking of the other commissioners? Do we need to cut the juvenile court budget back to current status, to current request, same as the last year, or just leave the amount, additional amount in there that we approved?
Commissioner Hogbook thinks my opinion would be that we would leave it in there, and that would be less to have to come up with if we do come up some at mid-year or whenever that takes place.
All right, Commissioner Oliver, you have...
I agree.
Mr. Felton?
I concur.
Okay, then that's what we'll do then. We'll just leave that amount, the last amount that we agreed to, we'll leave that in there, Judge Jones, and then when you come back to us and later, whenever you think you're ready and everybody else is ready, hopefully we'll have money to make it happen.
Great. Thank you all. I surely appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. All right. Next, you said, Rosalind, you said Mr. Beckham, Gerald Beckham, had a comment about his budget.
Yes,
well, the problem, Mr. Commissioner, that was so far back, I went to sleep. Thought maybe y'all could use the laugh about this point. You have to watch when you start dealing with 75-year-olds. If you go too long, they'll be gone to sleep on you. But I'll make mine real quick. Last year, we requested, when Regina sent out the form, we requested 95 for the Development Authority. Y'all approved 92. And this year, when she did that, we requested 100. And what we're asking for this year is 97. Johnny and I went through the budget, and even though we requested 100, we felt like that we could do without 3,000 of it. And almost all of our increase in that is a slight increase for a couple of salaries, and then things like electricity, telephone, gas that we don't have any control over. But we know based on the last couple of years, they've gone up, you know, $500. And so that's basically our request.
Jared, Commissioner Felton, if you got by with 92, why is income? Good question.
I don't like where we started with this, but go ahead.
What's causing the increase?
Like I say, most of the increase in the thing is just paying the power bill, paying the gas bill, copying machine, probably the same increases that y'all are seeing in your office.
Are y'all, is the Development Authority under our insurance, or are y'all on separate?
Or what? I didn't.
I said, are you and Dot on the county's insurance plan, or are y'all separate?
No, I was a separate.
Okay.
In fact, at our age, you know, most of our insurance is... the Social Security type insurance were just supplements to it.
Yeah.
Gerald, this is Commissioner Hogbook. I had a question. I think it was about a $5,000, like you said, bump up. And, of course, I think we probably take most of that. But couldn't the cities at least add a little bit to this? Maybe the other cities come up with between the four of them come up with $1,000 of this bump up of $5,000. I mean, that's been the same for years, as far as I remember, that the cities have stayed at a certain figure, and we're the only ones that's been doing the increase.
I think that's a fair question. As a matter of fact, as best I remember, those figures have been almost the same figures that we've had for the whole 5 years I've been here. So, yeah, I'll go back. If y'all will tell me what you do, I'll go back to the cities and see if they're willing to do anything, make up some of it.
Commissioner Felton, why don't we just wait to see, and then we'll make a decision from there.
See what you can get them to bump it up to, Gerald, of what they would help with, and just say they've been sitting at that one position all, like you said, for 5 years, and we've been footing the rest of it. And if they could come up a little bit, at least help some, you know, put some skin into the game here.
Okay. Well, and I don't know what happened. As you know, Regina and I had a very good working relationship. I don't know what happened between the budget request form that came out at $100,000 and what wound up being $92,000. Roseland said what y'all had in there for our request for this year was $92,000, and that wasn't accurate. But nevertheless, I don't know what happened to it. But if I can... How about so we can settle this? I'll go back with the cities. If y'all would do 95, I'll see if I can't get the rest of it from the cities. That's only a $3,000 increase on y'all's part. I don't like tabling things that seems like you never get them done.
Well, we need to address something, because this budget's got, we're supposed to vote on the budget next Thursday. And so it needs to be as close to finalized. We can put a few things in amended budget, but not everything.
Yeah.
So what about, commissioners? Could we agree to do three and let him try to get the rest from the cities?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. Commissioner
Hogwood.
So am I.
Commissioner Felton,
yes.
I'm good
with you. All right. So that's, I think we can put add the three, Roseland, into the final budget and see where that puts us. And let's see. Any other questions on the Development Authority budget or the 2021 budget?
Yes, in your package, I had sent a letter from the University of Georgia. When their salaries was put in their budget, it was put in at what their current salaries are. And when the lady called me, she said she had they had spoken with Regina when she was here. Her understanding that their employees would get an increase, the county employees had actually gotten their increases. So she's asking for us to put an additional $900 in their budget in FY 2021 so that she can adjust the salaries based on the letter that she has sent out. And it would only increase our budget $900.
This is Kate with the Extension Office. And
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were on there.
No worries. I jumped in kind of late, so I didn't want to interrupt anybody earlier. So I just, in case anyone had any questions this afternoon, commissioners, I figured I would jump on and help you guys. But Ms. Roseland is correct in what she is saying. I did submit a request for two of our employees for a small bump.
So... the way I understand this, then, Roseland, when we did the 4% for all of our employees, we did not include Carla and Rachel?
No, what we did was the list that y'all had the employees that was on our personnel policy. It was in our pay plan, and these employees were not on our pay plan. So we did not discuss them at that time.
Well, so they weren't included, and they. What about their insurance? Their insurance is with University
they're,
of Georgia.
They're state employees. We just supplement part of their salary, and plus we pay part of their retirement.
All right.
Yeah, this increase would just be to keep them in line with the support that you guys provided other county staff in the salary increases that were done. And it would be it's 4% between their two salaries. Carla's been with us almost 16 years at this point, so her percentage was a little bit higher than Rachel's. So, but it was a total increase for our line item of $900.
Well, that's always been an issue, which I don't quite understand, or it's difficult to understand because, you know, we just have gotten our employees on actually a pay scale that is based on a study done by the University of Georgia that gave, based on the positions, and it gave a salary for each position. But, like, I don't know, part of their salary is state salary, so I don't know what kind of scale they're on, whether they're on a much higher scale or a lower scale than, or equal scale to our employees. So it's hard to compare apples to apples when you're looking at those salaries.
Yes, sir, I completely understand. Just to let you know, Carla, our administrative assistant, is slightly above the minimum requirement for our admin assistant. So if Carla were to leave and we had to replace the amount that Extension asks the counties to pay in, Carla is above that, though she's been with us for, you know, quite some time. So this increase I'm asking for her is just to keep her, you know, cost of living and things like that in line and up to date with, you know, what everybody else kind of got within the county. And Rachel's current salary of $12,720 is actually below the current minimum of what the university's extension program asks counties to pay into. So I was trying to get her, or the request is for 12,72, because she's currently at 12,420, I believe, and that minimum is actually 13 at this time. So just trying to get them bumped up. Typically, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That might have just been a carryover.
Oh, okay. I thought somebody might have had a question. And then those two salaries, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's around 50% carried by the university, and or a little more than 50% carried by the university, and the remaining covered with our county salaries. So.
All right. Does anybody, any commissioners have questions about this?
I think we ought to do it, just Commissioner Hogbrook.
All right. We just add that into the budget. What about Commissioner Oliver?
Yes.
Commissioner Felton?
Yes.
All right. The chair also agrees. We go ahead and put that 900 in. And requested, we'll do that. Fine, we, you know, this agreement to do it, we'll do that in the final budget that we'll be approving next Thursday.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate each of you very much.
Okay, thank you for being online. And
y'all have a great one.
Thank you. All right. Any other budget issues for today?
That was all that had been brought to my attention.
Okay. We'll move on then to item five. Discuss the Oglethorpe Downtown Development Authority request use of the courthouse for the tree lighting and painting the government services building and the old probation building. I think that
Miss Natalie Bradley was fine to discuss that,
I think.
Okay.
I'm here. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can. We can. I can hear
you. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Did you want me to just jump right in, Mr. George?
Well, you know, I don't have an issue with the use of the courtyard for the tree lighting. I do think, and I don't know if this is just government red tape, but I think we got the request kind of indirectly. I think I talked to Commissioner Melvin, and he said that y'all had discussed it, and, you know, I think that's – I don't see anything wrong with it using the tree. But I do think that their formal request should come from mayor and council to do that. And, you know, just to keep all – I don't know if that would be clear with everybody's insurance and all, should something happen on the property and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. And what we were thinking was that it would just be a really great – because Oglethorpe's the county seat and the courthouse is one of our most historical features, and we've outgrown the city hall lawn at this point, that it would be really great to basically combine the efforts from the governments, and the courthouse always looks so beautiful. David Parrott suggested that we and Mr. Melvin also said the same thing, that we need to work on pruning the tree because it's so large, and I just wanted to make sure that I did have permission, or if I need to put that in writing first, that maybe asking, we had talked about Kenny Welch, maybe he could do it at no charge since he's on the DDA board for Oglethorpe and he owns a landscaping company. And Mr. Melvin had just wanted me to bring that up and see if that was okay.
I don't think any commissioners have any objection or reason why we shouldn't pursue allowing that Oglethorpe to Downtown Development Authority to utilize that tree and do whatever is needed to make it attractive and whatever.
Sounds all right to me, Commissioner Hogwell.
I think it's just a good idea, Commissioner Oliver.
Mr. Felton,
please.
I agree.
Do y'all agree that it needs to come like a formal request from the mayor and council?
Commissioner Felton, I do. Really?
Okay. I just thought that would probably be better.
Okay.
All right. We'll have a go on that. We'll put this on the everybody's in agreement, but we'll finalize it Thursday night, next Thursday, in a vote. But in the meantime, okay, they can try to get the letter to us requesting that.
Okay, I'll do that. And, thank you.
All right, that'd be good. And now this other thing, the painting of the government building, my discussion with Bob, he said y'all were just wanting to suggest maybe some colors and that kind of thing. But we've had some quotes on those buildings, and because of the lead paint and stuff involved, it has gotten pretty costly to do anything to them. But I don't. Do you know where we are on that, Rosa? We got bids, but we never did do anything with the bid. One company put the bid in, and then I think withdrew it.
No, sir. We really haven't addressed it again because the last quote that we had was somewhere around $60,000 to paint the building, and. So we kind of tabled it that time because due to the lack of funds.
Yeah. But I don't think anybody have any objection to, some kind of suggestion to colors and things like that that would, you know, fit in with your downtown streetscape. I don't think anybody object to that. But the problem is just us getting enough money to do what needs to be done to...
Yes, sir. Trust me, I understand. I understand completely. So I had just spoken to Regina about it, and so I didn't know if I needed to just see where we were on that. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
We'll probably figure out with talking to Rosalind just to see, make some kind of formal note that it's been requested that you be able to, the Downtown Development Authority and the city wants to suggest how color scheme when we get ready to do something, because that probably needs to be in the bid. Otherwise, we'll get some kind of cheap paint with a lot of water in it. But we'll make sure that we work with the Downtown Development Authority as soon as we can figure out a way to get moving on this. But it may be in the next referendum before we can have anything to do any of that work.
Okay.
But, we can at least put your desires in there, and I think everybody's good with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Item number six is discuss Whitewater Creek Park Wildlife. I think Commissioner Oliver, you want to put this on the agenda?
Yeah, that's correct. Is Janet and Darren both on?
Darren's on.
Is Janet on if he's not on? No Janet?
She's outside.
Okay. I had sent in my memo, I had said for both you and Janet to be on the call, so.
Well, she's outside the doorway. We're not both going to lean over the phone. We're trying to social distance as much as we can. I try not to be in the office when she's in the office. She can hear you. She's outside in the doorway.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, what's happened over the last year or so, I've identified a few things going on out at the park, and I've also identified some problems, and I think I've identified some solutions. I don't think you have very often that sometimes it comes with other problems and then come with solutions also. But during the last couple of years, I've talked to Darren about a few things that going on at the park. One was a while back about the full-time campers being there. And that came up, made me ask about rules and regulations. Well, Darren told me he never had been furnished any rules and regulations. And as we talked, he pretty much been told to ignore me unless I came up with some policy. Of course, I came back to the commissioner's office and I came up with some policy and furnished that to him. He said that was the first time he'd ever seen it, and that was probably 2 months ago, I think. Well, anyway, as you know, biology and wildlife is my background, my undergraduate background, and I noticed a lot of things about it, and I enjoyed mixing and mingling among the wildlife and the parks and things across the country even. And going out to Whitewater, as Darren was telling me about a fox, that was the first thing he told me, that he had a rogue fox that was coming into the park, and he thought he was going to have to get a silencer where he could take the fox out. And I wondered about that, and that's another thing that made me think, you know, that they have any rules and regulations and all of that sort of stuff at the park. And the next thing Darren told me is he was going to have to get some low-velocity ammunition in case he had to kill a snake. And that, again, made me think about, you know, rules and regulations that we had going on there. And I've talked to Darren and Janet lengthy about things going on in the park and how I pictured it as a wildlife refuge, a wildlife protection area, or whatever you want to call it, wildlife or bird sanctuary. And that's sort of what I'd like to see it be. And I've told Darren this too, as I go around out there, we've gotten less ducks and less geese and less cormorants, less other birds in the park than we've had in the past. I mean, a noticeable amount less than we've had in the past. So I get asking questions. And, of course, Darren tells me that he encourages his duck hunters to kill at least one goose. Well, that's nothing wrong with that. It's a goose season. There's nothing wrong with
killing the geese if you're in a place where you should be shooting geese. And then I heard from other people in the community that there was an alligator in the pond out there. What a cool thing. I stopped by and I asked Darren what happened to the alligator, and he said they harassed the alligator and it left. Well, the next thing I'm talking to Janet, and Janet shows me a picture of the alligator all hogtied and duct taped up and being taken away by DNR. And there's nothing wrong with that either. If you get a rogue alligator that's causing problems and so forth, sometimes that's what you have to do. But these things can be avoided. And the problems that I've found after asking questions, Janet tells me that they got 5 geese that's never left the pond either, baby geese, and the parents are still there. They've never left. Well, what I found out when I started asking them that is Janet feeds them duck feed in the pond every day. So that's sort of a big no-no. If you go to Yellowstone, they won't let you feed the bears, and they won't let you feed the elk or any of that sort of stuff because of the problems it causes. So, therefore, if you feed the geese in the pond, the geese will hang out there and won't ever go off into the wild. And, of course, the alligator sees that as an easy way to knock off a baby goose, so he's going to come to the pond and hang out to knock off a goose. And if you feed the cats and you feed the squirrels, all the squirrels are going to come to one concentrated area. So that's going to make the fox hang out where the squirrels are, so he can knock off a squirrel or knock off whatever hangs out there easy. I mean, it's just common in nature to take the easy way out. And the solutions that I've come up with over this is I think that everybody needs to get on the same page. I've got these rules and regulations here, and I want to make sure that everybody's on the same page with me. And on the second page of these rules and regulations that was adopted in 2016, I read there that no person shall possess a firearm, and no person shall discharge a firearm in Whitewater Park, and I sort of want to know by that one how everybody else feels about that.
Everybody, this is Commissioner Hogbook. Yeah, I'm here. I don't think we need to have firearms going off in the park unless there was some exposure to danger. I mean, I could see a water moccasin coming up, getting in somebody's camp, and I know what I'd do. I'd shoot it. If I had a gun.
Yeah, it'd be easy. Yeah, that'd be fair enough, but it would be easier to do that with a hoe, or it'd be easier to do that with a bush axe. A lot safer. And if you can't reach him with a hoe or a bush axe, he's of no danger to you anyway.
Carl, well, Sometimes I don't have access to a hoe or to a bush axe, and at no time have I ever shot a fox out here. At no time have I shot anything other than a water moccasin. And I have killed probably 25 water moccasins in the past 2 years, 4 of them in the beach. The rest of them are probably going to be right around the campground areas, and I have. There's no doubt about it. But there's really no alternative. I mean, I do understand the fault on weapons out here. I do understand that. I do understand that wholeheartedly. I assure you I've been well-trained. My post-certification has expired, but I have been well-trained on how to handle a firearm and how to shoot a firearm. And like I said, my share of snakes out here. And if the board decides that we don't need to shoot snakes anymore, then that's fine. I won't shoot anymore.
That's my feeling, and it's my feeling only because of liability. Bullet ricochet, kill somebody on the other side of that thing, we won't be able to pay for it. You think our budget's in a mess now. Not even kill them, just hit somebody in the hand across the legs or up the joint from there, and that'll be problems. So I think these rules and regulations that y'all made in 2016, we ought to go by them. And let me tell you something about experience also. I hear about your experience with a fire, but my experience has been in an emergency room for years and years and years, and I can show you all kinds of people that shot someone when they didn't think that their experience would let them do that. And the next thing I can tell you is about snakes. I worked in a snake bite referral center, Phoebe Putnam, in the emergency room. And most people that get bit by snakes never get bit on their legs or anything. They get bit on their hands. And you know why they get bit on their hands? Because they're messing with them, usually. That's when they get bit. You never do hear anybody say, I was just walking along and a snake bit me. It was I was trying to kill him, or I was trying to move him, or I was trying to make him mad. Those are the ones that get bitten by snakes. Those that leave them alone don't get bitten by them. Same way with an alligator. I've only seen one alligator attack my whole life. And he got bitten by on the hand. And that was a DNR officer that was trying to relocate an alligator that was in Reynolds, Georgia. And, of course, he relocated the alligator, and he also got a nickname, Gator Bait, at the same time. But
well, we haven't shot any alligators, and I don't have any intentions because that is highly illegal. And I had an 8-foot alligator in the catfish pond, and we did get him caught out of there. And as far as the geese being eating and drawing alligator, we don't have – there's nothing we can do about that because in order to get the catfish from the state, we're required to feed them. And, you know what, the geese come. And you know what, like I said, if the board doesn't want me to shoot a snake anymore, I promise you I won't shoot one. You just tell me what you want me to do, and that's what I'll do.
Well, there's a couple of things.
I've used my liberty to do that just because I thought it was a good idea. The board tells me, and that's what I'll do.
Now, that's what I was saying. But the problem that's happening in the pond is the feeding. And the solution to that is to stop the feeding. Stop the feeding of all kinds in the pond. I don't care what it takes. We've got to coexist with the wildlife in the park if we're going to keep the park. And the other solution that I think is the reason we're down on birds and so forth is because of habitat. We need to enhance wildlife habitat in Whitewater Park and not destroy it. Like boxes, you had that idea, bird nets, bird boxes, duck boxes, and that sort of stuff. That'd be a great thing to add there. You've got to, like I said, coexist with them. And if you go right back to it, they don't kill snakes in Yellowstone. They probably put you in jail for killing a snake in Yellowstone. They probably do the same thing in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And that's where I stand on it. I honestly do. And the wildlife the same way. I think we should be protecting the wildlife on Whitewater Park instead of hauling them off. And if we don't feed them in the pond, they won't come there, I promise you. And I just wanted to know the feeling of the other commissioners on that. I think that needs to be added to the rules, and we need to educate people that come there that there are wildlife, that there's wildlife there. That's everywhere you go. They got signs. Don't feed the alligators. Don't feed the bears. There are alligators in the pond here. Like if you go down to Lake Blackshear and play golf, you can see alligators walking on the fairway a lots of days. They don't haul them off. They just stay out of the way.
Now, hang on just a minute. When we had the first, I've had about four alligators caught out of the catfish pond. When we had the first alligator problem, I contacted Armand, and he told me to call Regina, which I did, and Regina told me to get in touch with DNR, which I did. And the biologist came out here, and he told me, since we furnish these catfish and you have to feed them, any big gator that comes into the pond, we want him removed because we don't want him eating the catfish that are in the pond that we're trying to furnish for the kids to have the fishing rodeo. And now, if you guys suggest something else, then you know what? We don't necessarily have to have a fishing rodeo. We don't have to get catfish from the state. We don't have to put these things on. But this is just what they recommended. And you know what? Being the manager of the park, I just take that recommendation serious. And this is what I went with.
Any commissioners have any comments?
Are we still going by the rules and regulations that y'all adopted in 2016? That's my question.
Well, I think I can answer that we adopted those rules and regulations, and we should be going by them. If there's something in there that doesn't need to be, or there's additions that need to be put in there, then we need to review them again and redo them. But anything that's in there, we need to be following. That's my opinion. Otherwise, why do you have regulations if you're not going to follow them? But, it's surprising that Derek hadn't seen them. That's kind of strange, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Commissioner George, can we discuss this at a later time and have Roseland send us out a copy of that particular part of the ordinance. Let us review it.
Yes, sir. I think that would be a good idea. Send out the regulations that we approve, and then we'll set that up on a work session and look them over, and that'll give us some time to look and see what they're doing in other areas, and look at some of the alternatives to, still getting. I think we still want to have the fishing rodeo and get the fish.
I do, but let me ask one more question, Mr. George, Commissioner George, and I want to direct this question to Darren. Did the DNR request that y'all feed those fish duck feed?
I'm sorry, Carl, I couldn't hear you. Say that again.
I said, did the DNR request that y'all feed those fish duck feed?
We don't feed duck food. I feed floating catfish food.
Janet,
this is by recommendation of the biologist.
Janet.
Yeah.
Tell me about the duck feed. Now, you told me you fed the geese duck feed. Is that right?
We have non-floating cat food that I did put out on the ground because.
Now, well, you told me yesterday you were feeding them duck feed. Are you still feeding them duck feed, or are you changing your story?
It's the same thing. It's like just cracked corn stuff. It's duck food, yeah. It's what I feed my duck at home. And I did put it on the ground. Yes, I did.
So not many catfish get out there on the ground, right, and eat the ducks.
I know, Carl, but you know how I am with animals, and I can't see them go hungry. I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
If you want to save the animals, don't feed them. That's the worst thing in the world you can do. They get hauled off when you feed other things. You've seen it.
Well, we've actually quit feeding the catfish because we've run out of money, and we're waiting on the – they're not being fed anymore, so the geese aren't in the pond anymore.
There you go.
All right. Well, I think Commissioner Felton's suggestion is a good one. We need to look over those rules, and then we can be assured that we agree with them, and then we can make sure Darren has the latest update and that's followed strictly.
Commissioner, I was actually, this is Darren again, I was actually given a copy of the regulations. It's the first time I've seen those was just a couple of weeks ago. I was never given a copy when I took the job. We just kind of winged it as much as we could, and I did need some kind of policy direction. And when I got what was given to me, it's what you guys had voted on in 2016, and we have begun to implement that to the present. Right now, we began implementing it, and so a lot of changes have been made and are continuing to be made. There are some changes that need to be made to the policies that are not applicable to us right now, but like you said, at a later date, we'll get together and we'll try to figure out what needs to be in there, what does not need to be there. But
I would suggest that you look over that, too, and give input on what you think should not be or what you think needs to be changed, and then we'll all have a chance to look at that.
That's correct. We're going through them right now. As a matter of fact, for the past couple of weeks, we've been going through in there and just highlighting what is good, what's not good, what needs to change, and so forth, so that when we do have face-to-face again, we can get together and we can discuss this and we can come to a conclusion to go ahead and settle it.
All right. Any other comments by commissioners? All right. Hearing none, the last agenda item. Is there anyone signed on that wishes to make a public comment? If you do, you need to announce yourself, and we'll allow you 5 minutes. Anyone in the public listening to the meeting, signed into the meeting, that would like a public comment? You do not,
yes, this is Nathan Hershberger. I know I talked to you, Chairman George, last Thursday about the park. I don't know. Can y'all hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear. Everybody else here?
Okay. All right. So I did a little bit of research on that, like I told you I was going to. Have y'all discussed the park as far as when it's reopening?
We've not talked about that today. That rule is still going with the last governor's order.
Okay. All right. I didn't know when does that change, or when does that he's supposed to update that?
If he does what he normally does, I would assume he will come on Friday the 12th and have a news conference on Friday afternoon somewhere around 3 or 4 o'clock. That's what's been the pattern in the past. But I don't know that that would be what he's doing.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that answers my question. I thought y'all may have discussed it before this. I didn't know if y'all discussed it among yourselves. All I have.
We don't have any new information, and you did say the park. Now, you were talking about the Preston Williams Center.
That's correct, the rec department.
Yeah. I wanted to clarify that for other commissioners.
For this? Gotcha. Sorry, yeah.
All right, so you just won't know basically when we're going to open back up.
That's right. When can we expect it to open back up? Because we need to know to let people know when we can start using it again.
All right. Well, we were taking our guidance from the governor. Like I told you the other night when we were talking, if the governor comes out and says that he'll allow crowds of 200 together and whatever the social distancing requirements would be, whether he has pretty much in this last order charged county government with monitoring and enforcing social distancing on county properties. And that's one of the issues that we had with the Preston Williams Center, is that we don't have adequate numbers and for lengths of time in order to monitor and enforce the social distancing. And of course,
okay.
25 is the limit now, so you can't have more than 25 people, and that's pretty much two ball teams. So
that's right.
That's why we haven't done anything. We're just kind of waiting on from the state on what to do.
Okay, I will look for the state to do for his update, and we'll go from there. I do thank you for taking my time.
Sure, thank you for participating. Is there any other individual person wanting to make a public comment? Any other public comment? All right, hearing none, any commissioners have anything they'd like to say before we end? All right, hearing no comment, then we'll consider this work session adjourned at 3:54 p.m.
Thank you.
And don't forget to come over here to sign the checks, okay?
Okay.